Den.
All right, we are back in the saddle, as they say. We'll do some comics in the news. Why not? Because they're always in the news for such positive things. As soon as I can fucking find the thing. God damn it. Phil Pip.
Phil Pip? Are you talking to Joe when you say that? That would be filthy.
I will say it's nice to be back out of a two-week absence.
I know. We missed you.
No.
It has been a long time.
Aww. The shows were good?
No, Joe. We can't go on without you.
I don't know.
They were fun.
I think our audience has to be the judge of that.
I think they were fine. They were good. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, we had Russ in and we had Kevin Lee in.
Yeah, so those were good shows.
Although there was one point when Russ was in and I said to Pip, I miss the open-mindedness of Joe.
Yes. Russ was having a moment with this one issue. We were both looking at each other like, this is shocking.
We were talking about something that happened in a college in La Crosse,
mm-hmm.
a porn star, Nina Hartley, was brought in to teach a class,
mm-hmm.
Brought in by the professor. And Russ just kept on going on for a long time about, I don't need a lacrosse coach to come in and bring it. I'm like, no. He's not a coach of lacrosse. This happened in lacrosse.
Yeah. No, he was like, why are they taking the lacrosse team money and bringing a porn star in to talk to the team? And we're like, no.
I think it's money well spent.
See?
Like, he couldn't understand the value. Because the purpose of the course was to have people come in to teach, to tell about their life, how it might be different than yours.
Right.
So most of us don't live the porn star lifestyle. So she was talking about that. And Russ could not get past the fact that she was a porn star. I don't want them.
They're spending taxpayer money to have some
and
porn
Pip
star.
And Pip and I are like, you know what? There's a lot. Kids have a lot of anxiety with porn because they have performance. They think they have to, whether men or women, they think they have to live up to those.
Was it high school or college?
College.
College is fine.
Yeah. That's why I said I missed the open. But this just went on. Finally, which is something I never do. I threw up my hands. I go, I can't.
I know. It's like Damon got so frustrated. It was just really kind of out of character, and he could not get...
He was stuck.
He was stuck in, nope, can't accept this, nope, don't want, do not want. And it was like, what?
Yeah, it was...
We were both really startled by, like...
And it was just because he couldn't get past it.
We couldn't get past it.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting show, okay.
All of our shows are, yeah.
It was.
An interesting show, and had a very good interview with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Learned a lot with Kevin. Yeah, so it was good shows.
Yeah.
It's always good to have you here, though.
I know. I'm an inspiration.
Yes.
Sea monkeys and jizz. All right, let's do some comics in the news.
And now it's time for comics in the news.
We will start with the Trumps. So Melania was interviewed on that bastion of journalistic integrity, Sean Hannity. Apparently Sean Hannity has a little cartoonish theme song too.
Yeah, there was a little theme song coming out of Joe's
Say Sea Monkeys and Jizz. Joe shows up. Say Sean Hannity.
And that little song plays. That was very
might play again.
That was very interesting timing.
Hannity wants to give you a talking to before you come on the show.
Little pep talk.
Make sure you get all the talking points down.
Yep.
Wouldn't want you to disappoint. So anyway, they're interviewing Melania Trump, and she went on to call journalists, authors, and comedians, quote, opportunists, who aren't telling the truth and who use her and her family's name to spread gossip and, quote, advance themselves. You would imagine it didn't go so well on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I don't think she understands the concept of comedians. I don't think she understands that they tell jokes and... She doesn't have to approve of them.
Yeah.
No, I'm being deadly serious. I don't think she understands.
No, I mean, like, you don't get writing credits and you don't get last approval of this.
Right.
It's not up to you, honey. You don't have to like it.
And I feel like she's naive to the tradition of satire
in
this country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if this is something. Somebody should have a talk. with her. Not her husband. We'll get to him. But somebody should have a talk with her.
Where was she from originally?
Slovenia.
We should have a lot of people should have a talk with a lot of people. Boy, that sounded very poignant, Joe.
Well, we let you get through it, Joe. Great to have you back, pal. Well, we missed the wisdom that you give to us.
Long day.
Do you want to rub your hands together and get some cocoa?
Joe learned that in mediation with his ex.
A lot of people have to talk about a lot of things.
And as I'm delivering the line, I'm like, this is the best I got right now.
You couldn't stop yourself, could you? You're like Thumb and Louise just driving off that cliff.
It just seems that a lot. There goes the thing again. It just seems that lately.
He's like, you're doing it wrong. Yeah.
It seems that a lot of people need to have a talking to lately over what's comedy and what could be said. I think we're going to go over that in a little bit as the show progresses.
Yeah.
But not just Melania Trump. I mean, you know, a lot of people.
So, and then she comes out against gossip. And I feel like it doesn't really work with her husband, who used to routinely pretend he was his own press agent and leak stories to the New York tabloids about things such as his love life. He would call the New York Post or Daily News and go, oh, yeah, look, Donald Trump, Marla Maples says Donald Trump's the best sex she's ever had.
Yeah.
Donald Trump literally did this.
He leaked that.
To Page. I mean, I don't feel, I don't know. Is she disingenuous or naive? I don't know.
I'm not really sure, but it just seems bizarre when you think about who her husband is. It's like, really?
She's detached from reality, which makes sense with that family. Sorry, Joe. But, I mean, she's just fucking detached. I mean, it's not the first time. So, I mean, I really don't give a shit about a first lady's poll numbers, but they've showed it's, like, plummeting in the past 11 months. Interviews like this, I mean, I know it's on Hannity, so, you know, the Fox News people will eat it up, but everybody else where they show the clips, it's not going to come across well.
No. It really is... disingenuous, or she just doesn't get it.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I really can't tell with her. I mean, I know that there's a lot of people who are not big fans of Trump, particularly women who...
Melania?
Of Donald, but then they argue amongst themselves like, oh, that poor woman. And then they say, no, she knew what she was getting into. Yeah. She chose this
poor
life.
Poor woman has sailed... away.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing.
She's being best.
Yeah.
She's being best. Be best.
she's being doing. Best.
So then we'll move on to the hubby.
Yeah.
Donald Trump. So Saturday Night Live ended their fall season with a sketch where they did a takeoff of It's a Wonderful Life, where they imagine if Trump never became president.
Yes.
As you would imagine, they portrayed everyone being much happier if that was the
case. And much better off, yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yes, I saw that. I saw it live.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was okay.
It was okay.
It wasn't that funny. It was like Saturday Night Live often is long and drawn out.
Yeah, and kind of like, you know, there was an opportunity there, but they didn't know how to write it.
Yeah. The punchlines weren't that great. No. It seemed a lot of force.
Yeah, because, you know, and the reason...
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't.
Perfect preparation.
I've been busy lately.
I know. Santa's not going to slide down his own chimney.
But... But the reason I tried to watch it. Yes, I couldn't get the clip in time. The reason I ask is that they've actually been doing a good job. I mean, the Christmas one where Putin came down, like, what did they do that last year, the year before, where it was Christmas and then Putin came out of the chimney or something.
that was
a great bit. Yeah. Also, the Sean Spicer bit, Sean Spicer press conference bit was peeing myself.
Yes,
you know,
spicy.
Yeah,
yes,
so like I'm like, well, Saturday Night Live. No, they've actually done a pretty hysterical shit. Yeah, that's why I was wondering how this was.
I didn't think it was exceptionally mean. Like, I didn't see it was over the top.
No.
I just was like, okay, this is not one of their better ones.
No, I mean, like, they made the point with several of the, you know, the usual suspects, and they're all kind of, you know, making hammering home the same point. I'm better off.
The gist was we'd all be better off. Everybody's family, everybody in the administration be better off if Trump wasn't president.
Right, the reason I was curious, because basically, I'm not going to say, I was planning to laugh my ass off. You know, I was looking forward to seeing the laugh, you know, I'm actually going to find it.
Well, you know who didn't laugh their ass off? Our president. So Trump tweeted this. A real, capitalized, don't know why, scan, all of it's capital, all caps, then back to lowercase, scandal.
Wait, is it
He writes like Ann Jackson.
Oh, God, I stumbled over myself trying to get to that.
That was a foot race, okay.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but she never got out of the starting ball. A real scandal is the one-sided coverage, hour by hour, of networks like NBC and Democrat spin machines like Saturday Night Live. It is all nothing less than unfair news coverage and Dem commercials. Should be tested in courts. Can't be legal, question mark. Can't be legal. Only defame and belittle. Collusion? Okay, now let's... Trump has appeared on Saturday Night Live several times.
Yes.
Rudy Giuliani, his pet spokesperson, as well, including the time when he dressed like a woman. Never heard a complaint.
Wait, was that on Saturday Night Live?
Saturday Night Live.
It was.
Yes. Saturday Night Live has a long history of satirizing presidents, both Democrat and Republican.
Yes.
None has ever had the fetches that Donald Trump has had.
Oh, my God.
So, Joe, I ask you. Is Donald Trump a whiny little bitch?
In this case, yeah.
Okay. Pip?
Yes.
Okay.
Now he looks at me. We've got 20 minutes to fill.
No, what no. Yes? There'll be plenty of time.
To fight and argue. What are you doing?
Take it to Facebook, I said.
Oh, they will.
Here's the thing. He's very unpopular.
Yeah.
We've never had a more unpopular president for this long. I feel like he would gain in popularity if he could just laugh at himself.
He's not. He's not that kind of a guy.
No, he's not.
He doesn't have a sense of humor. He's not. So, of course.
He has a sense of humor where he thinks he has a sense of humor where he makes fun of other people.
Yes.
That's what his fans like so much, with his cute little nicknames like Pocahontas, Crooked Hillary, Lion Ted.
Picking imaginary dandruff off of heads of state. That's hilarious. You know.
So, what's it say about him that a network that he thinks has some unflattering coverage in satire, he feels should be in front of the courts? I think that this gives us a window into how he fucking thinks. If you're not kissing his ass, he wants to bring down as much legal authority, which he has none,
right,
to you as possible. Like, he wants to silence you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he thinks it's like some type of conspiracy against him, and there's a legal remedy. He doesn't understand... He doesn't understand our Constitution. He doesn't understand our laws. And to me, this is just another example.
Right. It is a little scary that when I believe it was when he was running or when he just won that he was making comments about how he was going to... No, when he was still running, he was making comments about how when he was going to make sure that the news people who said things that he didn't like would be punished. And it was like, that was a very frightening moment.
He did.
For
he
all this.
Sarah Sanders. Now they have to deal with her.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's a frightening moment where he was already saying, if I don't like what you have to say, I'm coming after you.
I'm just reading one of the things. Kavanaugh never made it to the Supreme Court. And Mueller was able to spend more time with his kids instead of having to investigate some idiot for treason.
I guess it reads better to Joe. Than that was funny. I don't think he likes free speech.
I don't think he's a fan.
Joe?
I think...
He likes his free speech.
He has a very high opinion of himself. Okay? And if he...
We will agree.
And he doesn't have a very thick skin with stuff.
Yeah.
And if he sees this...
I've seen parchment paper that was thick.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, he speaks out against it, you know? I'm just saying it is. I'm not saying he's right.
I think he thinks deep down we should all be there for his pleasure. I think that's his outlook on everything. We're all there to amuse and serve him, which is very scary in a president, by the way.
Whoa.
Because they work for us. This is what I try to explain. They work for us.
Yeah.
We don't work for him.
I think in his way of thinking, you know, he was elected president. He is not taking a salary. He is... working in
his... Well, he's making a lot on his hotels, Joe.
You know, but he is working, you know, he feels that he is working for the best of the country, and every which way he turns, he gets negativity in the news. Sometimes he feels...
Because I'll
slipped.
Tell you what, when Obama was president, he was very supportive.
It was...
Donald Trump was never negative.
That was an easy ride, man.
But what I'm saying is
he knows what he did. He came up with the birther shit. He knows the presidential gig is not an easy ride.
I'm not defending. I'm explaining.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not defending. I'm
explaining. Understand that.
All mm-hmm. right. And he feels that he's, you know, he's doing all of this and he's getting slammed in the news. He's getting slammed on Saturday Night Live. He's got Twitter. So he'll tweet about it to try to defend himself or try to, you know, to show his, you know, anger
but
or frustration over it.
A lot of his a lot of the Trumploidites. Will support him. Like, I've seen so many comics like coming out against Saturday Night Live. Oh, it's not funny anymore. It's been the fucking same for years.
Yeah.
It was mediocre then. It's mediocre now.
Yeah. It's been a little bit better.
It has moments of brightness.
It's been a little bit better than it's been.
Well,
comedy
is a target-rich environment,
but still, and you know, aside for the president, you know, we've known people that worked on Saturday Night Live and stuff like that, and who always say we're fighting to get our bits in, we're fighting to get this.
Yeah.
And I sit there and watch this, and I'm like, why are they beating this bit to death? If you had four other sketches, why don't you make the sketches a little bit smaller and put quality in, just sit there and try?
That's
you know,
been a problem for years.
Yeah,
they don't know how to edit.
I don't think Saturday Night Live has crossed the line with Trump. I think they're treating him. The way they treat every other president.
Yeah.
I mean, Obama was not a target-rich president.
Right.
You can only do so much with him.
Before you hurt his feelings and you're being offensive and stuff like that. Yeah. He was, you know,
no,
he was
boring.
A Teflon.
Obama
was boring.
Oh, but God forbid if you goofed, oh, you're being racist and you know,
No, when you send the meme about the cookout with fried chicken on the front lawn of the White House, yes, you're being racist, Joe. When you're sending shit of Michelle Obama looking like an ape, yes, you're being racist, Joe. If you want to make fun of the way he talks and his policy and that's fine. That's all.
But
he was just a boring guy.
I understand, but you still had a contingent that would go, oh, you're making fun of him. He's blah, 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 blah. He was a very Teflon president, you know, where
not,
you
not
could say
of
you,
him.
Yeah, because you
he didn't. He didn't whine and bitch about it.
No, he didn't. But the thing about it was he didn't get a lot thrown at him.
I think that he's not like Key and Peele did it every week.
Key and Peele did it every week.
Yeah,
they goofed on him.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, he wasn't targeted. George W. Bush got a lot of it.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton got a whole lot of it.
Don't sit there and. Sit here and think
no,
that
I'm saying
that Trump is getting an unfair amount of it. No, he's getting an amount nobody else. But like you said, Clinton got it. The Bushes got it, you know. But it seemed that Obama didn't get much of it.
I'm just saying because he was boring. There wasn't that.
I don't think it was boring. I think that there was just this thing where if you said, God forbid you said anything wrong, it would be your ass. And people steered away from it.
Like the thing he got made fun of the most that wasn't racist, because there was plenty of racist shit out there,
yeah.
was the way he paused. When he talked,
yeah,
the way he spoke,
yeah,
but like he didn't really do outrageous shit. He didn't, you know, he didn't have. He was never looked at as being stupid by anybody.
No,
George W. Bush was looked at as being stupid. Right. George Herbert Walker Bush unfairly was being portrayed as weak.
Yes,
but he took it in stride, and it was a great thing. And in the fact, when he lost, he invited Dana Carvey. To do his impression the next day for his staff.
Yeah.
That's how you handle shit.
Yeah, but you got to understand something. Politicians get into this business, and they know that. They go through it every election cycle. They go there. That's their gig. Trump came in. And like I said, I'm not defending. I'm explaining. Trump comes in from business of being a boss and blah, blah, blah. And then he gets himself into this arena where you're getting scrutinized. You're getting scrutinized by people in your own party and this, that, and the other thing. And for a guy like that with his ego, he can't handle that.
That's fair.
No, he can't.
And I'm not defending. I'm explaining.
But that's part of why, and you're not going to like this, but that's part of why Hillary said he's not mentally fit for this job because she knew him. She knew him, and she knew what the job entails because she saw what's been thrown at her and what was thrown at her husband, and she hung out with the Trumps long enough to know that he does not have the makeup. Forget about what you think of his intellect or anything. Just what Joe is talking about.
Yeah.
He did not have the makeup to be able to shrug it off and just function and get past it, or better yet, laugh at the shit and play along with it.
No, he's so not malleable in that way.
I do think Trump gets confused between satire and news.
Complete from the words in this tweet, yeah, he's making it sound like, well, this is a news outlet, Saturday Night Live.
Well, I mean, they do the weekend update. I mean, you know.
it's not a news outlet.
I mean, I look if I was president, Oh, I dared a dream. If I was president and there was somebody that was doing an imitation of me, I'd
there
be,
most certainly will be.
I'd be
I pray
yes.
for the day.
Believe me. But you want to know, you'd be sitting with me in the Oval Office laughing my balls off.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Tell you what,
hysterical.
You'd have some very entertaining speeches. About
yeah. But think, I mean, you know, just because...
If you had me on your side when they made fun of you, you'd have some fucking zingers going back.
I mean,
I'd be a great hire.
It's funny. I give you a small example, not as president, but I'm going to see Billy Joel tomorrow with my buddy Dennis.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Dennis's wife hurt herself on vacation. She broke her wrist. She can't go see Billy Joel. Aww. So Dennis goes.
What'd she need her wrist to listen for?
Because she, I'll tell you.
Oh, you can't move through the public and be jostled.
Well, I could tell you. I'll just tell you this: next time you go to Atlantis, don't fall and break your wrist. But
thanks for the advice, pal.
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
Is that where she did it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And
I'll be there next year. This
yeah.
time.
But anyway. So he was.
I'll go to Atlantis and break a wrist. I wasn't going to go anywhere trying to break a wrist, stupid. I'm going to Vegas, but
don't
I hope
go
I break a wrist.
Don't go to Atlantis.
All right, well, tell me off air.
All right. So anyway. So Dennis posts this on Facebook. He goes, yeah, a ticket. My wife can't go. Chance to go with me and a semi-famous New Jersey, New York comedian. Joe Carr. And I didn't get back. I go, semi-famous? I don't even think I'm semi-famous.
I agree with your assessment.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So instead of going,
yeah, you sound
instead of, but instead of going, yeah. Oh, you know, that's not funny. That I left my balls. I felt kind of a little inferior. I'm a little bigger.
Because you've had a lifetime of having your balls busted.
I know. I guess. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know.
Trump has never had his balls busted.
No, and that's
not to his face when he leaves the room.
But that. That's where I'm getting at. I'm not defending. I'm explaining.
It's amazing he had a Comedy Central roast. It is fucking amazing.
Amazing. Because he's just like so – he's so thin-skinned about himself. It's amazing.
All right. Let's move on to our last comics in the news story. Fucking names. Constantine.
Old pronouncing you have to do.
Yes. Constantine Kissin. Was warned about a, quote, no tolerance policy on topics including racism, sexism, and transphobia. He was, I think that's a fear of Trans Ams. He was asked to perform at a gig.
Burt Reynolds had that. He hid that.
Exactly.
It's coming out after the grave.
He got through his transphobia job.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't say Trans Am. I'm scared of them.
He was asked to perform at a gig at the School of African and Oriental Studies. SOAS. In London, organized by
pretty much SOL.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny. Organized by University Society UNICEF on campus. The group has since apologized, and the Students' Union says it believes fully in freedom of speech. Constantine told Radio 1 Newsbeat, the experience reflects a growing trend of free speech becoming stifled on university campuses across the UK. He shared the, quote, behavioral agreement form online, saying the title nearly made him puke. Did it? Did you nearly puke? So I can get my daughter back here. Nice.
Yeah, I want to hear what this Constantine sounds like right before he pukes.
Here's what it said. The behavioral, the comedy night organized by, and that's redacted, Society aims to provide a safe space for everyone to come together to share and listen to comedy, with all proceeds donated to UNICEF. This is a chance for all to be entertained and overjoyed by the different performances here on January 23rd, 2019, hence the importance of this contract. This contract has been written to ensure an environment where joy, love, and acceptance is reciprocated by all. By signing this contract, you are agreeing to our no-tolerance policy with regards to racism, sexism, classism, ageism, ableism, homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, xenophobia, Islamophobia, anti-religion, or anti-atheism. All topics must be presented in a way that is respectful and kind. It does not mean that these topics cannot be discussed.
That's funny. All
let me get through. Let me get through. But it cannot. But it must be done in a respectful and non-abusive way. What?
All topics must be presented in a way that's respectful and kind. That's not comedy. It's not it's not comedy.
No, we'll get into that.
I don't know. Okay, professor.
I don't know if that's true. We'll get into it. So it goes on. I just think that's the agreement for it. He goes, I just think it reflects an attitude among a group of people, people at a university, particularly where it seems that they've become places of indoctrination rather than learning. Students are being taught to prevent offense rather than to seek truth and pursue experiences. Universities used to be all about that, but now it seems there are places where students are being taught to be woke. Whereas in college I used to sleep. I think it reflects a broader issue where increasingly there are people who value safety, or what they perceive to be safety. The full list of topics, well, I read through the list. The contract said it does not mean that these companies, yeah, I read through that too.
But the interesting thing about that is that where universities becoming places of indoctrination. Thank you. Indoctrination instead of rather learning. Students are being taught to prevent offense than rather to seek truth or pursue experiences. It seems that the universities used to be all about that.
Yeah.
But not now they're places where students are taught to be woke. Now, why I say that is I do a whole thing about free speech in my act where I compare.
You must seek permission first to do it.
Right. Where I find that, you know, I say, where is free speech being killed? I go, college campuses. Mm-hmm. And I go, which was the epicenter of free speech during the 60s.
Yes.
Against the counterculture.
Mm-hmm. And no. Yeah, they were the counter.
The counterculture against the culture.
If you were who you are, you would have been railing about these damn fucking hippies. So you wouldn't have been out there with the flower children protesting. These motherfuckers back in my day, that's what you would have been like.
But they had a purpose. They were, you know, they had.
Well, these protesters have a purpose too. Let me go on with this. Okay. UNICEF on campus told Newsbeat, not to be confused with Tiger Beat. given that UNICEF is a children's charity, we wanted to make sure that it was. Sure, it was an appropriate event for the cause. We would never wish to impose that guests would have to agree to anything that they do not believe in. We apologize for the misunderstanding. A spokesperson for SOAS said it does not require speakers to sign any form of contract or behavioral agreement. Also insists that he's never been out, so the comedian Constantine has never been out to deliberately cause offense. He's simply offering a fresh take on his 20 years in the UK as a Russian immigrant. I'm from Russia. I joke about Novichok. I don't know what that is. And I joke about the fact that I'm Russian. Do you?
I think he plays on the Rangers.
Funny. That's a whole big issue right now. I make fun of British people, and that's kind of, hey, I'm a foreigner, and that's what I've noticed about you guys. Still, he's certain that offense can be found in almost any comedian set. If you choose to find offense, then there's plenty of room to do so, he says. I didn't turn down this big gig because I'm racist, homophobic, xenophobic, able. I turned down this gig because if you sign a contract like that, you're exposing yourself to someone's bad interpretation. If someone writes a contract like that, the chances are that they will be hypersensitive, vigilant, and trying to catch you out. I'm not interested in that. Here's the thing. I think I'm going to take a contrarian view against you two.
What?
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with a client providing a comedian with a contract that limits what can and can't be talked about. This is a private event. This isn't you're going to a club to see comedy. This is a private event, and they know what they want, and they know their clientele, what might cause or not cause problems. I mean, you know, when I get for corporate gigs, I go over this shit all the time. Yeah. I don't necessarily sign anything, but I'll ask before the gig, okay, what do you want? Well, we don't want it rated R. Okay, what does rated R mean to you? Because it means different things for different people. I want to get all on the same page. I don't have a problem with this organization doing this. I know I'm supposed to be outraged, free speech, but at the end of the day, it's a fucking business. This is a business.
I understand what you're saying. I don't have a problem with them giving guidelines because they do know who their audience. Do you want to know if they're going to be sensitive about certain topics and that they want you to stray away from those. Absolutely. I mean, you both have shows where they say we want you to play clean.
Yeah.
You know, or we have elderly Jewish people as most of our audience, and
as all of our audience. Sunday morning with the lox and cream cheese right down the middle of the fucking room. No better way to start a weekend.
Listen, I want to be staring at a buffet when I am doing comedy. But the thing is that having said all that, I think that they really jumped way over the line when they said, now sign this paper saying that you agree to do that. Because that just sounds like an invitation for them to start all kinds of bullshit.
Well, the problem with that is not what they listed. Because they're saying you can talk about it.
Right.
But I would want to know, what's the definition of what respectful and kind are?
Thank you.
Let's get on the same page. Let's put that in writing. Because, yeah, I get why they don't want you to make fun of homosexuals or atheists or, you know, whatever. I get why you wouldn't want to do that.
Right.
Because they said you can talk about it. Even in the contract, you can talk. So what they're saying is they don't want these people to be the butt of a joke where it makes them look bad.
Right.
I get that.
Okay.
It's a corporate gig. It's not, you know, it's not Dangerfield or the Comic Strip Live.
It's a charity gig, and they have specific guidelines about what they're comfortable talking about.
Yeah,
nothing. You can't mention anything.
Here's the thing. There's plenty. I actually wrote a blog about it, which a lot of people liked. Listen, there are comics that can do this show.
Sure.
And actually, I would be happy as a performer to know this ahead of time,
yeah,
as opposed to being ambushed like often happens right before you go on.
Exactly.
By the way, don't talk about measles. We lost somebody to measles. What? I have 5 minutes. Measles is my closing bit. What do you mean?
Right.
Let me know ahead of time, and then I can say, all right, I can't do this gig. Thank
Paul,
you very
you're
much.
Doing a measles bit?
Why, you
I
tell?
I do a chicken pox thing.
Mine's probably an older bit.
But you know what? Mine's rubella. I think they were all okay.
Yeah, but yours is
a little
funny.
Dated.
Yours isn't funny. You should stick with your polio.
Remember the
should
rubella,
I go back to the mumps?
The rubella
bit?
Umbrella?
No.
Remember the rubella umbrella?
No, I don't.
You can ask her twice. It's going to be the same answer, Chuck.
It's still no.
It would jog her memory.
I do have more than a 2 second recall.
See, I don't think.
Pip's a goldfish.
Yes.
I don't think this is a free speech issue.
No.
This is a business. This is business.
Yeah.
Comics don't understand that.
But they're having you sign a document saying that you plan to do this. What are the repercussions if you stray past what their guidelines are?
But then you forfeit your money, I'm guessing. But here's what I'm saying. Like, if you're a business person, you have further conversations. You don't blurt this out to everybody, so now you're some type of fucking hero. This guy's no hero. I get confronted with this shit all the time. Hmm. Either you could do the gig or don't do the gig. That's all it is. It's like I said, it's not somebody who showed up to a comedy club and said, this is mean, I don't like it.
Yeah, but the whole overview of this is how ridiculous universities are getting.
But this isn't about a university. This is not. This is about a particular group having an event at a university. This is about UNICEF.
Yeah.
This is a fundraiser for kids. This isn't about colleges.
Then you want to know something? If you've got all these, don't have a comic. Have,
I agree with that.
Get a guitar act at a puppet or something like that.
I agree with that.
You know, have a poetry reading with some folk guitar girl.
But that's fine. But that doesn't.
But don't have a comic.
But that doesn't make these people wrong for putting this in there. And you can have a comic. They work cruises. There's plenty of comics that can do. There's plenty of non-edgy comics that can do a lot of family-style material.
Sure.
That'll be fine. This guy was not that guy, maybe.
No, maybe he wasn't that guy, and maybe it's like, oh, wait, you're asking me all this, like, I'm getting here, and you're saying
he's like trying He's like trying to be offended for everybody. But that's not this situation. It's called show business.
And you
this
will,
is the business
and
part.
And I guarantee if this starts getting out of hand, any more out of hand, you'll be signing this at clubs. Guarantee.
Well, that's a different thing.
Well,
that's a different thing.
But that is the part of the issue that bothers me. That's bothersome. Yes, go over all these guidelines and everything, but now you're having him sign it like it's a contract, and they're very, very nebulous terms.
Which
in
is why
there.
I said we need to have a conversation.
Yeah,
about
but what does that mean?
But UNICEF
respectful
completely
and kind.
UNICEF has a right to put restrictions on what they're paying for.
Sure, they do. But now, if you're signing this and you're, and
I wouldn't
saying,
sign that.
It, right, well, that's
but
his
I
point.
But I'm not an asshole that has to go look at me and show it to everybody. I would have the conversation. What do we mean? What is kind and disrespect? What do you think that is?
But
and then I could go, you know what? I can't do this.
Yeah.
Or I could go, okay, I can I talk about things and I don't make the person the disabled person the victim.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I would you know what? I think he's right. I mean, this is fucking ridiculous.
Why you do corporate? Do you do corporate gigs?
Once in a blue moon.
Well,
but
you'd probably do more
but,
of them if you didn't think it was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it is ridiculous, and I just pass on them if it's going to be.
That's fine.
If it got down to
but
there.
That's what like these corporate gigs. You can't talk about shit. That's why I do so much crowd work. The gig I did on Sunday morning for the elderly Jewish people.
Right.
I know. Don't be edgy. I fucking titillate. Yeah. I titillate. I water shit down.
Yeah.
I play with the audience. I Rolodex in my head jokes that aren't really going to be that offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a fucking professional. I don't go fucking bitching and moaning. I took the gig or I didn't take the gig.
Well, but his I think his point of view is saying this is what is expected of you now. And
for a corporate event.
Right.
He's trying to confuse it with colleges. This
is a
corporate event. Listen, motherfucker, this is how corporate events go. They've been this way since I got into the business.
Yeah.
It's why corporate events pay so much fucking money. It's why college events pay so much money.
Because they want it as narrow
but it
as
has,
possible.
But it is getting the point to the colleges where it's getting so ridiculous where a comedian like Seinfeld who is, you know, won't even work there anymore.
I talked about this last week on the show when this came up. Like 17 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever the fuck it was, I'm playing a college in Rhode Island. I have an Ethiopian restaurant joke. Right. A big fat black girl says, I'm offended by that. In a club, I'd rip her a new one. What, you eat the fucking village? Here, I just go, okay. Because even a joke that I didn't think was offensive was offended. And this is, it hasn't gotten tougher. It's just what it is. I agree. Don't hire comics.
Yeah.
Because most of the people who enjoy this are not going to the campus events.
Right.
Most of the cool people are going to the fucking clubs. Yeah. They're not going to the campus events. And even at, you guys should really read my blog this week. Even at the campus events, it's only a handful of people that are bitching.
Yes.
And as always, it's the fucking loudest voice. So don't hire a comic.
Right.
But this is not that. That's what I'm saying. This is a corporate event. This guy's getting way too much attention because that's what the business is. Listen, guys have been flown off cruise ships because they offended one audience member. Flown off in the middle of a fucking cruise. Why? Because that's the fucking gig.
Flown off the cruise ship?
Helicopter land.
There have been stories, yep.
So that's the gig.
Really?
That's why you get paid much more than hackety hacks on the fucking weekend. That's why you're getting paid thousands of dollars for cruise ships and corporates and colleges. Because they're not easy.
Yeah.
And not everybody could do it. And you have to be funny, but you can't be offensive.
Right, right. Within a very narrow guideline.
Yes, absolutely. But it just comes down to one person's opinion.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it comes one person who is easily offended can ruin the whole gig for everybody.
And really, on college campuses, do you really want comedians that are overtly anti-religious, xenophobic, racist, anti-gay? You really want that on a college? This isn't a discussion. It's a performance.
Yeah.
If you want to have that conversation in a class
where
it can be moderated by a professor and everybody gets to have their say and we can learn and maybe shape opinions and grow from this, fine. Listen, I get it why you wouldn't want somebody who's attacking on a college campus.
You know Dice Clay
But
who
do you think
you
get Dice in there? I mean,
but that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens. That's what they're trying to ward. I don't have a problem with that. I'm happy to give me the contract. Let me see ahead of time. Don't spring it on me when I show up.
Well, that's part of the problem.
Right.
If you let something like this proliferate, it's going to snowball and snowball and snowball to every facet. And you're going to be signing this at clubs, and it's going to kill everything.
But fine. But if it happens at clubs, then I'm going to be concerned.
You should be concerned now because it's the things.
I'm not concerned now because I've been dealing with it since I got into comedy. Mm-hmm. Since I got into comedy, I did corporates and colleges and temples and churches. We've worked churches together. You know, I do a completely different act in the churches than I do, when we're working a club.
Oh my God, I would hope.
So do I.
Because you know what? Because there's guidelines.
Yeah.
And we know, all right, if we want to get through this, we don't have to make our political stand tonight. Let's just do our happy, crappy show, get our laughs, get our paycheck, and go the fuck home. It's not always about the art. Sometimes it's called show business. It's a business decision. Can I make money and do this?
Yeah.
If I can, great. I'll take the gig. I'll play by your rules. If I can't, I'll recommend somebody. Or just say, listen, I'm not the right guy for it. As long as you're letting me know ahead of time, I can make an educated decision.
Well, that's the thing. Don't spring it on him and then say, sign this contract saying that you're going to be respectful and kind.
Yeah, don't make him sign it when he shows up.
Yeah, no, that's the bullshit.
But this gig was January 23rd or 19th, whatever it is. He had plenty of time.
He had time, okay.
That's what I'm saying. I know as a comic I'm supposed to be outreach. I'm not, because I've done enough of the business. I know the gig.
Yeah.
I deal with clients all the time when I'm putting shows together. What are the restrictions? All right, so you don't want any naughty language. Can we say shit? Yes, you can say shit. Don't say fuck.
Okay.
All right. Don't do any anti-Catholic stuff. Good thing you told me that. You give me the information, and then I pass it on to the talent or myself, and I play by the rules.
Yeah. No, I understand that because it's sort of like say that you had your own party going on, and you're like, look, I really don't want any of this stuff going on. I don't want you to do jokes about that because nobody here is going to find that funny, and it's going to ruin it. And it's like, that's fine.
Yeah, I see nothing wrong with this.
And wouldn't it be better if people could be clear about those things?
I would welcome this. Please let me know ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather that than I show up to the club and a woman complained about the joke I did.
I just, not to beat a dead horse, but what made me queasy about this was, now sign this. And it's like, now is this like a contract? I can be sued for straying out of these guidelines?
You got to get some terms.
Yeah.
What's at stake here? What do you mean by offensive?
Yeah.
Who's judging?
Right.
Is
it going to be one person, Aunt Tilly
in the back, who's upset about everything? Attention seeker. That's all this was, and I gave him attention.
I don't think he gave him attention, and no more than you would, when you complain, not complain about talk about a gig. Over the weekend, you're stating your opinion on a public forum.
Right, but I'm not getting a set of guidelines ahead of time. When shit goes wrong, it's like, well, nobody fucking told me that, and now you're mad.
Yeah, I know, but these guidelines are ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't know about that.
No, they're ridiculous. I know plenty of comics who could do that show.
I understand, but regardless, the guidelines are ridiculous.
No, they hired possibly the wrong comic.
Yeah, they did.
Which is fine. It happens. All right. Now, a brand new bit, something that draws us all together, our love of spite. So the brand new bit is outstanding displays of spite, or as Joe put, spit. I guess he ran out of E's. Outstanding displays of spit. That's a completely different bit, Joe.
No, spite.
No, it's not what you wrote here in the stinger when you spelled it out.
Oh. I said it correctly.
No, you said it correctly.
All right, because I wasn't that tired when I did it.
No, I said it about reading the label.
All right, well, when you do things at 11:30 at night,
you can't spare an E.
Outstanding displays of spit.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
I can just see standing on the counter in some restaurant. It's crazy sounding. I love it.
So here's our tonight's participant. A Vermont business owner erected a statue of a middle finger on his front lawn to spite town officials. Ted Pelkey from Westwood, Vermont says he's been fighting an uphill battle with town authorities over a garage he wanted to build on his property. I've been put through the ringer by these people, and it's just not right, said Pelkey, who built the structure in October. I was sitting at a bar and said to my wife, "Hey, I want to get a statue made of a middle finger, and I'm going to put it up on the lawn." He spent more than $4,000 on the wooden sculpture, which weighs 700 pounds and stands on a 16-foot pole. Pelkey also set up floodlights so pedestrians and nearby drivers could see his work of art anytime.
Now, if I got that contract and the other story, that's what I'd send to the school.
Yeah.
His ire is directed at the town's development review board, which has been denying his attempts to get a building permit for 8,000 square foot garage. He was hoping he could move his business, recycling company, and truck repair shop from the nearby town of Swanton to his property.
Now, would the finger come with him if he did?
Yeah.
No, the finger's at his house.
The finger's at his house.
You can get out of bed in the morning, take your coffee, walk across the driveway, and go to work. Who also noted, said Pelkey, who also noted his business is moving his business to his home would eliminate his 25-mile commute. What would you want to do? And authorities can't force him to take down the sculpture. While Vermont has a ban on billboards, Belkey's finger technically isn't advertising his business.
Well, it would be if he was a proctologist.
I'm number one. I'm number
not sure
one.
If that's the finger they use, but okay. The structure does not meet the statutory definition of sign and thus can't be regulated under the Vermont billboard law, said Jackie Dimon, a spokesman for the Vermont Agency of Transportation. Pelkey is appealing the town's decision to deny his building permit, and there's a possible court hearing in January. Until then, he has no plans to take down the sculpture. It was critical to me to make sure that my neighbors and the people who live in this town understand that I didn't put that up there for them. He said, it's aimed directly at the people who sit in our town office. I think this is an outstanding act of spite.
Yes.
It's great.
$1,000 worth of it.
Oh, yeah. No, that was money well spent, man.
See, I wouldn't have gone to that expense.
No?
No, it's a little much.
Well,
I mean, I'm happy this guy did it, but I wouldn't have.
Yeah, no.
It's a lot of work and money.
I'm glad he did it. I think it's outstanding.
If you notice, he's got lights on either side. The damn thing lights up at
lighting
night.
Up. Like, you know when you're in a rural area and you're on the highway and you see one of those really tall signs that tell you where the gas station is?
This one tells you where to go.
Yeah. This looks like a friendly town. Well, maybe not so much.
Keep driving, sweetie. Keep driving.
We were in New York for a second.
Funny. I don't think this is going to help his cause, though.
No, it's not at all.
I think it's very possible that they will create a law to force him to take this down. I think that's coming.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be an ordinance drawn up at the next council meeting.
Now, do you think this actually helps or hurts his business?
I think it helps.
You do?
Yeah.
Think everybody's a sadistic prick like you?
Yeah.
This is Vermont. They're good folk up there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that there's going to be people that have a sense of humor and have the same sense of, I want to be able to do what I want to do on my property. I'm not hurting anybody. I don't know necessarily if what the other side of the story is. I don't know if it's, I don't know if there are people close by that are going to be affected by him having all kinds of vehicles on his property, whatnot. I don't know what the objection is.
Well, I will say this. If I'm the neighbor, I'm not fucking happy. That's dropping property values. Nobody wants to move into the big middle next to the big middle finger.
I don't think it's staying there forever.
I don't know. Until this gets resolved.
Until this gets resolved. That
would be a problem. Where do you live? Yeah, I live right by the big fuck you.
You know, easy to get pizzas.
True.
An Uber, I'm right next to the big the bird.
I mean,
oh, okay.
I mean, for show purposes, it's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
I don't think it's going to help him at all, though.
No, if this was my neighbor, I'd be like, good for you. Rock on.
Would you?
Yeah.
Not I. I'd be, really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't like this.
I'd laugh like hell.
Good I would, too. Good
no, you him. Wouldn't.
And it's in a rural area, too. So
yeah. I think that if somebody was jerked around by a town enough, and that happens, because I've seen cases where small towns in the suburbs, I don't know about rural areas, but I'm sure that they're the same, where somebody gets into a position of authority in a small space, so they're a big fish in a little pond, and they decide that they're going to lord it over people, and
in an evil way.
In an evil way. And
they were lured over in an evil way.
Yes, they would. But there's
rascal.
There's people who get into these kind of like very officious jobs. And, you know, and this is local government at its worst. Sometimes, I mean, I was having a situation with the board in my own town, because they decided that they were going to make the area I lived in a historic district. And my particular house was not a historic home, but we were the last house in the drawn-up district. And I said, no, because I know what happens when you get that. That means there's all kinds of restrictions on what you could do on your property. And
have to put a cannon on your front yard?
Well,
Washington slept there.
Well, there would be like...
Next to the cat.
There would be like, oh, we don't want you to put a cannon on your front yard. You have to use historical colors when you're painting your home.
I've talked about this before, but the whole Washington slept here and the Washington's army retreated. Ugh, enough. We get it. He was tired and he was always on the run. We get it. Such a father of the country.
His army slept in my backyard where I am now.
Really?
Yes, literally.
Really?
Literally.
He slept at the Hyatt. But the army. He was not well liked by the men. You don't hear that very often, Joe, in historical accounts.
He was down the street in the historical house with the plaque that says Washington slept here. But his men slept in my backyard.
Washington slept everywhere.
Yeah, he was a whore.
I don't know who slept with more places, him or Donald Trump.
Did Washington spend any hush money, though?
Washington follow the pussies.
Yeah, well, we'll never be able to follow the money because it didn't have a face on it yet.
Betsy Ross, underneath that flag, was a pussy that was being grabbed.
Oh, my God.
Well, you got to think. Well, I mean, Franklin loved women. So you could see God Almighty. He would have been definitely in the Me Too movement.
How come they don't have it? Franklin slept here?
Because it's a gimme.
Yeah. Franklin slept everywhere.
Everywhere and with everyone.
And you know what? He was hit with the chicks, but when you look at him, like, really?
Yeah, I know.
Lowest standards. I guess him and the whole with the key and the kite and stuff like that.
No, you know what?
Impressed chicks with his straight feats of intelligence.
Well, he was very smart. He must have been charming as fuck. Yeah. I mean, so that carries a lot of weight.
Oh, yeah. And then he'd run out and get bored with chicks here and then hop the next boat out to France and go over there for a while.
And make up some terms about inebriation.
Right. Sure. Come back and then write some legislation, a couple of ye olds here and now what's there. And
he was a made man. Yeah. So he had chicks fall all over themselves
for
him.
Doug Franklin, yeah.
Now it's time for the throwdown.
Uh-oh. All right.
Well, a great debate of absurdity. I'm surprised we haven't done this before. Hanukkah versus Christmas. Which is the better holiday? Joe will be moderating this.
Country has seen great debates in history. Lincoln Douglas, 1858. Nixon Kennedy, 1960. Bush Clinton and Perot in 1992. But that all stops now. Welcome to Davin's Den's Great Debates in Absurdity.
Now, I know even Jews will often concede that Christmas is the better holiday.
I rest my case.
But this Jew does not.
Oh, come on. Get with the program.
I feel very, very confident. But Pip, as my whole mate, I will let you choose if you would like to go first in your opening speech, or if you'd like me to go first. Because remember, we both give our speech.
Yes.
And then Joe can ask questions, and we can ask each other questions, perhaps, as Joe determines. But our speech must go uninterrupted.
Okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
All right.
Now, Pip is arguing that Christmas is better than Hanukkah.
Come on. Christmas. It's the Super Bowl of holidays. People plan their whole year around it. Getting together, feasting, getting and giving presents. Not presidents.
Giving presidents?
Giving presidents. Oh, and my work is done here.
Never good when you're mocked by the moderator in the first 20 seconds. And the Jews take a quick little celebration on the side.
I'll show myself out. Getting and giving presents, spiked eggnog, ornaments and lights. Not to forget, Santa. Frosty, and that baby, what's his name? It's the best day of the year, and everyone knows it. What other holiday can you say that people decorate to the degree that it can be seen from space? It's all things to all people. It's sacred and secular. When else do people lop off a perfectly good tree at the knees and drag it into the house? What else would push most retailers into the black? Listen, you got a horrible family, you don't have to spend time with them on Christmas. There's a blockbuster movie opening because it's Christmas. It's a day off for everyone. It's the best.
Feel good.
Yeah.
I will have a little musical accompaniment playing in the background.
Oh, dear.
While I make my case for Hanukkah, playing in the background, something we have not played in quite some time, but we have played it on this show. Formerly a punishment song, but I haven't had a punish in a while. Octomoms and the kids singing about Christmas. That will play in the background while I take Christmas to the woodshed. All right, here we go. Hanukkah is a Jewish festival commemorating the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem at the time of the Maccabean Revolt against the Seleucid Empire. It is also known.
How did you get your bar mitzvah? How did you? You are a good bullshitter. How did you get your bar mitzvah?
That wasn't one of the required vocabulary words.
You damn well hope it wasn't.
It is also known as the Festival of Lights. It is a celebration of an underdog military victory. Plus, it's a celebration of oil that was only enough to last for one day, but lasted 8 days. You get two miracles for the price of one. It's a bargain, and you don't need to be Jewish to love a bargain. What's Christmas? A virgin birth. At best, that's one miracle. At worst, you can witness that daily on the Maury Povich show when the woman denies that she had sex with some random dude. Just another virgin birth. Hanukkah has a menorah which fits nicely on a windowsill and then can be packed away. Christmas trees involve destroying nature, getting a hernia, dragging them inside. Then they leave needles all over the place. Then you need to re-aggravate your hernia when you drag it outside, where the garbage man will get a hernia lifting it into the garbage truck. In short, Christmas trees are bad for the environment and cause personal injury. Hanukkah food is known as a latke, or a potato pancake. They are so good, many restaurants serve them year-round. Also, jelly donuts. Everyone loves jelly donuts. Another treat you can enjoy year-round because it's so damn good. Christmas is known for chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Nobody wants chestnuts! What do you eat at a ballgame? Peanuts, not chestnuts! And an open fire? Really? Is that what you want after you got shit-faced on mediocre eggnog? No, it's a fire hazard. You're gonna burn shit down, and worse yet, you're inconveniencing firefighters and putting these heroes at risk on a holiday, you inconsiderate prick, you. Christmas is known for fruitcake, a dessert so bad people keep it for a whole year with the intention of re-gifting it to someone else. Right now, there are fruitcakes in circulation that were baked in the year 1986. For fun on Hanukkah, Jews play dreidel, where they can win money or chocolate. On Christmas, Christians sing songs, and most of you can't sing, so you're not paying tribute. You're caterwauling, so knock it off. Hanukkah has two songs, one about a dreidel and another funny song by comedy legend Adam Sandler. Christmas has so many songs that after Thanksgiving, they transform perfectly pleasant radio stations into 24-hour marathons of maudlin Christmas dirges. You want to rock? Well, you can't rock until December 26th. But until then, you can rock around the Christmas tree and have a holly jolly Christmas. No woman ever decided to flash her tits after hearing Christmas carols. Why? Because tits only come out when you rock.
Oh, my God.
I'm taking it to the woodshed, girl. And there are no imagined wars on Hanukkah. No, people are really trying to kill Jews. What's the war on Christmas? Outrage over coffee cups and songs. Ooh, scary. That's not a war. That's an annoyance. How dare you demean the brave men and women of our military by creating a fake war with no real casualties? If there's going to be a war on Christmas, I want to see dead elves. Where are the dead elves, Joe? Where are the dead elves? And I don't mean Jeff Sessions. He's not dead. He's unemployed. To claim there's a war on Christmas is unpatriotic. Stand proud with Hanukkah gelt in hand and proclaim your love for our military. And do not stand down as cowards and snowflakes try to convince you of a fake war. Christmas invites small children to sit on fat strangers' laps. Really? In any other situation, would you trust Joe with young children?
A lot of families do.
I understand.
Suckers.
Of course not.
During the holidays.
I understand, Joe. I'm aware. I'm aware of what's going on.
I'm the judge. I got to send them to the bench.
Of course not. Jews love their kids. We don't let them anywhere near Joe or Santa's of his ilk for the opportunity to take some trite picture that can be delivered to the aunt you never see and really don't love. No, Hanukkah does not prostitute children, unlike these tawdry Christmas traditions. And speaking of Santa, Christmas encourages children to believe in Santa Claus, which is nothing but fantasy. It creates unreal expectations and reveals parents to be liars. How can you ever believe your parents again? They may say meth is bad for you, but you remember that your parents are liars and you don't believe them, so you do meth. Now you're addicted to meth and have no job, no money, and no teeth. Why? Because your parents lied about Santa. Some people can never let go of fantasies, and this damages people. We see it perpetuated in society. Allow me to give a couple of examples. The belief in Santa Claus shows itself in popular sitcoms, where shows are cast to show an average-looking fat guy holding down a low-paying job, having a smoking hot model-looking wife. Fantasy, not real. If you're going to be an average fat guy, you want a smoking hot wife, you better have a damn good job. If you stayed in school, you could have had high cholesterol and a wife that looks like Beyonce and cooks like Chef Gordon Ramsay. But you didn't. You believe in myths. You've fallen victim to the Santa myth. You can't have your fantasy. You get Slim Jims and Pornhub. Sorry, Joe. Joe looked up. Once you fall for the Santa myth, you'll fall for anything. Like we're going to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. Another myth put forth by a fat guy promising you shit that you're never going to get.
Oh, my God.
If it wasn't for Santa, we would have sensible immigration reform right now. Fuck you, Santa. And yes, we would. And Jews, we don't force ourselves on women. No, we beg like honorable men. What do the Christians do? On Christmas, they hang a mistletoe and make women kiss them. And the women feel compelled to do this, even though they would never kiss you any other time, Mr. Chappy Lips McHalitosis. Christmas is a holiday for these Me Too times.
I dated him.
I'm sure you did. Christmas creates unreal expectations. Everywhere you look, you see commercials where people are getting cars or diamonds for Christmas. That shit isn't real. You can't afford that for your lady, but she fell for the Santa myth. She thinks you can. She hopes you can. She believes in Santa, too. But no, what are you giving her? A fruitcake and an irregular sweater from the outlet store off Saks Fifth Avenue. After 6 Christmases in a row like this, she's given up and leaves you. So now you're all alone and stuck with Slim Jims and Pornhub. Jews, we don't have those expectations. We know we're getting gifts from Jews, and we expect socks and $20 in Kohl's cash, and we're damn happy to have it and never unfulfilled expectations. Hanukkah is a holiday that celebrates 2 miracles, does not leave a large carbon footprint, cause personal injury, has delicious food, does not endanger America's bravest, invites games of chance, does not besmirch our proud military, does not encourage pedophilia or unreal fantasies that rip the fabric of our nation. Hanukkah is not a gateway holiday to meth addiction, and Hanukkah is not the holiday that treats women as sexual objects to be forced into action for men's pleasure. No, it does not. Put down your pussy hat and put on your yarmulke, because ladies, Jews stand with you in solidarity this holiday season. Hanukkah is the patriotic yet woke holiday that America deserves. God bless Hanukkah and God bless America.
Oh my God. Joe just looks like he got slapped in the face with a fish. He's trying to absorb all that.
Leave your vagina out of this. We're trying to have a debate.
Oh,
it's way
okay.
Over here.
All right, Pip. So Davin has displayed how there are reasons of Christmas is bad. Do you feel that a lot of his explanation was overblown? And if you do, why?
That's leading. You're leading. You're clearly on her side, Hannity.
I'm just asking her opinion.
All right.
Of course it was overblown. Our national treasure is our military. Our military loves Christmas just as much as we do. It's not making fun of the Jewish military that they had a military thing. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, she can't even complete a thought. Are you going to allow her to defend your holiday? This is the best Christmas can do. Pip Helix.
hold on a second. Just because I had a little bit of running stumbly mouth, that doesn't mean that...
running stumbly. Her mouth is drunk.
Most of the time.
She can't even be sober to defend Christmas.
Running, what running,
running stumbly mouth.
That's like we're on the road, right? And we're hanging out in a drink, and it's like...
Look, he's already switching teams. He knows Christmas is dead.
No, just like, that's like, you know, another thing we should do for the show. Don't you have running stumbly drunken mouth?
Wait a minute. I didn't have drunken in there.
No.
It was rumbling.
We were trying to give you an excuse.
Running stumbly mouth. No, that is all the excuse I need. Listen, your religion, this Hanukkah, is all full of kind of oily, pasty food. I know what happens after Hanukkah. There's a whole bunch of little jam hands on door jams and on the floor and everything because of those goddamn donuts everywhere. You're promoting a religion where everybody is full to the gill with cholesterol because of all oily food. Oh, we're going to celebrate. We had enough oil for 8 days. That doesn't mean that you have to have spillage like, you know, the Exxon Valdez. That's a lot of overkill. I think that there was a whole lot of crazy embellishment on what Christmas is doing. Not every fat guy is a perv. That the little children are allowed to sit on his lap and say what they want. It's not saying that everything in the world is a big lie. It's just saying that there are wonderful things in the world, and it's giving them a chance to experience the magic. I think that a lot of things that he brought up were overstated there.
May I respond?
Yes.
Will you answer these questions honestly?
Yes.
Do you enjoy jelly donuts?
I do.
Do you enjoy potato latkes?
I do.
Do you clean fastidiously?
No.
So all these complaints you had about Hanukkah, and you've proven my point. I rest my case.
You are not allowed to rest your case on that.
That was fucking awesome.
I have spent.
Let me
my
ask you
days.
A question. If you had a young member in your family that you loved.
A young member.
Young man.
You mean like a youngster? Okay.
Like if there wasn't restraining orders and you were allowed to be near children.
I was all caught up on member. Go ahead.
Are you going to a mall to have him or little her sit on some random dude's lap, knowing what you know about our Santa Claus and his perversions? Perversions, that's the word.
Perversions. No, we absolutely do not have to drag any young, impressionable children.
If they'll let him be Santa Claus, who else are they letting?
Yeah, but see, we're not talking about the fake mall Santas or the random Santa.
This one comes to your house to be a creep.
I know.
Sorry, Joe.
We have alarms for that.
he comes through a chimney.
We have security. And I have one of those little caps on the top of my chimney so that birdies and things can't get in.
If you're a good parent, you wouldn't do. Are you letting strangers pet your cats?
I'm not a good parent. And I would let Santa, the real Santa, come into the house anytime he wants. Because
Santa's not real.
Santa is a golden god. Don't you say that.
Santa's not real. There's one Lord and his son, Jesus Christ. You don't even know that, and you're representing this holiday.
No. Santa is...
To take control of this?
Is the spiritual
representation. That'd be nice.
Stanta is a spiritual representation of St. Nicholas, and he was a good person, and he wanted the children to be happy. And so he is the
Santa. By breaking and entering?
Yeah. You know what? Everybody allows Santa down their chimney.
All right. Now, you're claiming that Santa is a story?
Yes.
All right. Isn't Hanukkah a story?
It's based on history. In fact, you can go to Jerusalem and find the facts. It was the resurrection of the Second Temple, just like Jesus Christ really existed. Santa Claus never existed.
Santa Claus, but how? Okay,
thank you.
Santa Claus did exist. The actual person of Saint Nicholas is an actual historical person.
Did he ever slide down a chimney? Did he ever have reindeer?
Yes.
were they flying on roofs?
Absolutely.
Bullshit. She doesn't know the facts.
I see plastic representations of Santa standing
on top. Those are tits in Hollywood, woman.
What?
Plastic representations of other things.
I see plastic representations of Santa Claus is on top of roofs all over the place.
That's been stricken from the record.
It's not a court proceeding. Thank you.
Drive through the neighborhood.
We're on CNN, motherfucker.
Drive through the neighborhood. Drive through any neighborhood. Drive through Muncie. Do you see any plastic Judah Maccabee standing on the roof? Ha!
You see menorahs.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying we're talking about the person. Do you see any Judah Maccabees anywhere?
No,
you see Santa every place. He's real.
I see a lot of Trump supporters. Doesn't mean you're getting a fucking wall. What's your point?
People, I mean, they're real. Anything. It doesn't mean that they're good. Santa is good. He's the embodiment of good.
Is he?
Yeah, well, except if somebody is paid to dress up at him. The real Santa.
But he doesn't exist.
Now, I'm curious, Pip, why is the food better at Christmas than Hanukkah.
Oh, my God. Christmas food is so much better. You get a whole spread. You get turkey and stuffing because we get to have Thanksgiving twice. Some people throw out a lasagna. They're making a ham. There's all the spread. There's gingerbread. There's cookies out the wing-wang. There's eggnog. And if you don't like eggnog, there is booze, booze, booze. Everything. There's candy every place. There's candy canes. There is food every place. So much, a couple of leftover Dunkin' Donuts donuts with jam oozing out of every place. Pah! Christmas has got it all over that.
I would like, before you ask me whatever you'd like to ask me, I would like, for the record, to indicate that her first defense of Christmas was it's Thanksgiving twice. Her first defense is it's another holiday. That's what her defense is. That's food. No,
food.
Thanksgiving twice. You're known for fruitcakes and chestnuts. That's what you're known for.
I am not. Leave my chestnuts out of this.
They're lovely.
But fruitcake, yes, I have no defense against
that. You have no defense. Nobody. You can go to any diner in the country. You will never see fruitcake in the cake display.
No, I actually like fruitcake, by the way.
You're the one.
Yeah.
That's where you're getting the one from 1986.
And Mr. Helix likes it, too. I think that...
Well, we know he has suspect taste.
Well, we know, especially because we picked each other. You know that we both like fruitcake and we like each other, that we have suspect taste.
That was the point, but thank you for...
Yeah, I know. I just had
there might have been a point where Christmas was just one day. One day, one full day. Nice presents. Get everything wrapped up.
There's always some place to go. Yeah. Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Gotta go. Nothing to
see. Moving on, people. I gotta paint the music room.
Yeah, because somebody plays in a band that has their rehearsal on December 26th.
I understand.
But nonetheless, I have to come down and go to rehearsal for my family gathering. But nonetheless, so Christmas, nice family day, nice convenient. Somebody's opinion. Why is Hanukkah? Do you feel Hanukkah is overdrawn to be 8 days?
Do I feel Hanukkah as well? I mean, to be fair, Christmas is supposed to be 12 days. You guys just get fucking lazy and do it one. That's why they have the 12 days of Christmas. Let's be honest about it. Even you guys are unimpressed with Christmas.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Christmas starts the day after Halloween. Everybody knows this. Anybody who's ever been in a fucking store knows this.
That's why we're fucking sick of it by the time December 25th comes around. It overstays its welcome. Again,
I'm
whipping Christmas's ass.
Speak for yourself, oil boy. Christmas is everywhere and everyone loves it.
By the way, oil boy, thanks to us, energy independence, so fuck you.
I'm sorry, we have flying reindeer. We are completely...
That is very green.
That is very green.
Flying reindeer is very green.
Now, give me a reasoning. If Hanukkah is so much more better than Christmas, how come a lot of practicing Jews do celebrate Christmas?
Why do we celebrate? Well, I mean... Everybody likes an extra day off. Mm-hmm. We celebrated by getting Chinese food, so I don't really know if that's a celebration.
But
of Christmas.
There are a lot of Jews that participate in Christmas and that enjoy Christmas.
Well, because they're good people and they have Christian members of their family. Jews with other Jews are not celebrating Christmas. We're going to the movies and eating Chinese food like God intended. It's written in the Torah.
Listen, Christians are good too. We'll throw a dreidel on the tree if that's going to make you happy. We'll throw some gelt and put that on top of the present with all the blue and silver wrapping that you demand. No green and red. You know,
let's be honest. Blue and silver is a much better color combination than green and red. Let's be honest.
Says you.
Says your fucking socks. Look at those atrocities.
Oh, my socks are genius.
That's why you want an ugly outfit with that shit. Even when you dress up as the colors, people celebrate because they go, yuck, enough.
I didn't win ugly outfit. I won ugly sweater.
And it was green and red, was it not?
It was the Grinch.
Was it green and red?
It was green and red.
Ugly color combination. Nobody ever won an ugly sweater contest with blue and silver.
No, my sweater had legs. I rest my case.
Unlike your defense.
Now, how would you defend an argument that Christmas is much more festive than Hanukkah?
I would kick him in the nuts.
No.
Chestnuts?
Roasted.
One might feel that Christmas might be a more festive occasion, holiday.
Why would they feel
than Hanukkah?
That?
Because it's more.
Do you feel that?
Yes.
Well, then you're not impartial. So why are you fucking moderating this thing? You're supposed to be impartial. This is Lashonda. Once again, the Jews are being persecuted. A real war on Jews.
You don't have to bring up a 50s music group, okay?
That's Lashonda.
Lashonda Nana.
See, I can't. Listen, this is what we're up against. Ladies and gentlemen of the TV viewing and radio viewing audience, I can't even get an impartial. He's coming in here with loaded questions. He admits he's biased, just like when Hillary got the questions from Donna Brazil. It's bullshit, I said. And Joe, you wouldn't like that, would you?
But you have not brought up your points.
How can I even engage with you seriously?
Why wouldn't you even get the shot? Why wouldn't you even address it?
Because I need somebody who's impartial.
No, I don't.
What color are you wearing?
Yeah.
Blue, because it's a better color.
I'd say my honorable opponent here is cheating because he's throwing out Yiddish words and you don't understand all of them.
Okay,
so
you
I
know
think
what?
That
so why don't you do it in fucking ancient Greek? Why don't we have a Greek Orthodox fucking debate?
I think that's next week.
We were off, but we can come back for it. What was your question?
A lot of people feel that Christmas is more festive than Hanukkah. What would be your counterpoint
now,
on
is that?
Now,
is that people are saying?
That is a generalization. A generalization.
I really don't deal with generalizations. I deal with facts.
But, okay, then deliver facts. Why?
I fucking
you
did.
Feel,
you fucking hear the speech? I fucking, that's what the whole thing was.
All 45 minutes of it, yes.
Exactly. So why do I have to rehash it? Were you not paying attention?
We would like the bullet points, please.
Are we wrapping this up?
No, we're trying to make
it. Then why do I want bullet points? You're not
we're
good
trying
at this.
To, we're trying
You're
to,
another fucking Christian who fails.
We're trying to make it concise. If you could please make
well,
it
concise. Well, this is not the place for that.
If you could please make it concise and deliver
why
at least,
is it more festive?
Yeah, at least 5 bullet points.
Why is it more? 8 wonderful days. Delicious food. No pedophiles.
You don't know that for a fact.
Well, we're not advertising them. I'm not saying they're not there, but we're not fucking advertising.
Everybody side eyes Uncle Levi.
Everybody has an Uncle Morty.
Yeah, but he's not part of a fucking holiday.
Not anymore. And we know what he did.
Exactly. We don't fucking take over awful. We don't put awful music on the radio.
Like that's opinion.
Well, you just had a fucking opinion. You just said you're fucking partial. So now I can't have a... You, this is bullshit right here. He's not impartial. He fucking voices his opinion. This whole bit is opinion, and he's not letting me have my...
I'm finding you in contempt of court.
I'm in contempt of you. I'm in contempt of you.
Contempt. 30 days in the slammer. Go over in the corner by the other dumbbells. I'm going to rehash that joke from last week.
Oh, we missed it, Joe. We'd gone a couple of weeks without it.
Yeah, we were sitting there wondering where some fucking cornball jokes were.
There they are.
Yeah,
there they are.
Sea monkeys and jizz. There they is.
Hey, it rhymed.
There's a flood of nasty in the barrel right now.
Yeah, and you know, something that I didn't name. We don't. Hanukkah's a more subtle holiday. It's not all. We don't ram it down your throat. You can celebrate or not celebrate. We don't care. We're not gaudy. We don't need outrageous displays. We get together. We light the menorah around the windowsill. We exchange gifts. We're not so in your face about it. We know we're this shit. When you know you're this shit, you don't have to do an end zone dance. You hand the ball. You hand the football to the ref, and you go back to the sidelines.
See, now I know you're full of bullshit because you're a Jersey boy. And if we're nothing, we're in your face. We love in your face. That's what Christmas is all about. In your face. It's every place. Red, green, gold.
And everybody
packages,
loves New Jersey.
Lights.
When people, everybody loves New Jersey.
They do.
Exactly.
It's a wonderful place.
You just
place.
Made an argument why everybody hates New Jersey and Christmas. Good job, you.
Everybody loves the festive time. Yeah, you might have 8 days, but we have a whole month where everybody is celebrating constantly. Look at these fucking socks. We can't help ourselves. We have whole festive outfits.
Let me ask
we
you
have
a question,
festive
Joe.
Wardrobes to celebrate.
Would you ever want to wear those socks? like Jizz Sock would fucking leave. If you brought that up. Oh, Joe, get out of here!
Careful.
I bet you can't even get it up with those socks!
The bench is reprimanding me that I should be impartial. Sorry.
Oh, now you're impartial. Fine! Can you not get any of this, mister?
Careful.
The sock is closed. And I'm out of here too, Joe.
You better be tidy. Well, in all kinds of ways.
Well, then I'll have to recuse myself from you too.
Is that what you're calling it now? He's going to recuse himself.
Well, I think we should leave it at that and let the audience make up their own decision.
That's fine.
I think that's fine with me, too.
Christmas got housed.
I did not. Jam hands.
Jam hands. Yeah, when she's on her period. But what's that have to do with anything?
Actually, you know where that comes from? When I used to be a janitor.
I had a vagina, but I guess you had other stories.
No! When I used to be a janitor.
Oh, God.
What were you doing to those children?
No.
Forget about Santa being a pedophile. Stay away from the janitor.
When I was a janitor, there was a public room in the building where they had, when it was Hanukkah, and they had like the menorah lighting on the front lawn of the building, they would let like a group that was like the menorah lighting committee go and use that room to have a you know, like a festival, and they had like hot chocolate and they had all the jelly donuts and everything, and they would let their kids not just stay in that room, they would like wander all throughout the whole friggin' building, and there were jam hands everywhere. Jam hands. I got a problem with that. Keep your damn kids in the room where you're booked. Don't let your little jam hand brats all over the building where I got to clean jam hands.
You know what? I don't know if you saw the PSA I gave as Santa about the kids, where the kids will put the 3-year-old in the lap, and the 3-year-old is kicking and screaming, and they're grabbing at you, trying to make sure your beard doesn't fall, and they take the kid away.
Yeah.
And then they come back 20 minutes later going, let's try it again. Really? What if the kid shit his pants, drink his fucking bottle, and go, all right, you know, I had to rethink about this. They're throwing them right back on my lap, and I got a fucking crazed wombat again.
You've had worse dates.
I think they're having.
They have.
I think these kids have strong instincts.
They know a pedophile's in their
running
midst.
Running from Joe.
Look at Joe. Joe's taking a personal affront. I'm not a pedophile.
I'm not a pedophile. We know you're not a pedophile.
Well,
Joe. He just plays
with
on TV.
I'm not a pedophile.
That's what a pedophile would say.
I just play one on TV.
He'd love the TV credit.
Hey, I'd play a pedophile on TV if I got TV credit.
Yeah, I know. You do method acting, though, dear. All right.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, I whooped your ass. But anyway, on the break, new music from G. Lottie and Melons featuring Diane with Body and Soul. So G. Lottie and Melons featuring Diane with Body and Soul. You can learn more about them at khb-music.de. Short break. Do some...